T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Sports Flash, right now.
Hey, good morning from the 105.7 FM, the Fan Sports Update Studio. I'm Ryan Horvath. First on the Fan, Brooke Lopez scored 24 points. The Bucks beat the Wizards 126-113 on Tuesday night. Even after Giannis was ejected for a headbutt, Sterling Brown led the way, 23 points. Frank Mason had 19 points for the Bucks, who mainly played their reserves. Ish Smith had 19 for the Wizards. Up next for the Bucks, they wrap up their quote-unquote regular season against the Grizz on Thursday. Last night, Jed Jerko blasted a tie-breaking two-run shot in the eighth inning, and the Brewers came from behind. They beat the Twins 6-4. Christian Yelich would get on the bags, beating the shift with a one-out double for the Brewers. Up next, they will take on the Twins again tonight. Excuse me. Eric Lauer gets the ball. He's 0-1 on the season. The ACC and SEC have not altered their plans to play a fall season despite decisions to postpone by the Big Ten and Pac-12 on Tuesday. In separate statements, the ACC and SEC said they continue to make decisions based on the advice of their own medical advisory groups along with local and state health guidelines. Around the association last night, Damian Lillard scored 61 points, led the Blazers to a 134-131 victory over the Mavericks that moved his team into eighth place in the West. Meanwhile, yesterday in the West, Devin Booker scored 35 points. The Suns beat the 76ers 130-117. Read more online, 1057fmthefan.com. I'm Ryan Horvath, Sports Radio 1057FM The Fan, Milwaukee's number one sports talk station. Listen live anywhere, download the radio.com app, and favorite the fan today. We recap the Bucks' victory. Will Giannis see a suspension? We talk with Matt Velasquez next here on The Fan.
Fun, entertaining, knowledgeable.
All right.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Right.
Live and local, it's time for the Fan Morning Show with Bart Winkler.
.1057 FM, The Fan, Bart Winkler, Ryan Horvath. 1250 on the AM and the radio.com app. Busy day yesterday. Not only did the Bucks win, Giannis got ejected. He headbutted a guy, although as I talked to you in the last hour, more of a head lean. I thought it was endearing, like a kitty cat. The Brewers win last night. We'll go in that locker room. Manny Pena suddenly could be an offensive weapon for this team. And oh yeah, no Big Ten football or Pac-12. We started the show with that. If you want to catch up on that conversation, the rewind button on the radio.com app will help you do that, but why would you go anywhere right now? We've got Matt Velasquez joining us from the Journal Sentinel on the Great Midwest Bank hotline. Matt, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Bart. I'm happy to be here.
I think everybody's pretty much happy to have you here except for one guy. We started the 8 o'clock hour yesterday. I took a call and it was from a guy named John, and I'm going to play you that call here. This is John from yesterday.
I got the paper this morning. I know I'm an old-time guy, but the headline was another step in the wrong direction for the Bucks. Bucks continue to struggle during restart. I don't care. Really, I want them to be ready for the playoffs. This restart is, they got a number one seed, right?
They do.
So, right? So, Mr. Matt Velasquez.
Matt Velasquez will join us tomorrow at this time, 8 o'clock.
Yeah. Talk to him. I don't know what to say. He has to write something, I guess.
All right, so that was our friend John. I think he took umbrage with the fact that you said the Bucks were struggling, Matt.
Well, that is his opinion, and he's allowed to have it. I appreciate that he was reading the paper. That was really the take-home message here, was that John was reading the paper. Thank you for being a Journal Sentinel subscriber. That is huge news to me, and I greatly appreciate it. But, like, yeah, people are allowed to have their own opinions and allowed to think of it their own way. I can totally understand the perspective of saying, hey, like, I don't care. Just don't be hurt. Be healthy when it comes to the playoffs, and they'll be fine. No big deal. I think that is not totally unreasonable. But I do think that, you know, what I wrote was they're not playing very well. And one of the things that they've said consistently is that they want to be playing well and healthy when it comes to getting to the playoff time. And, you know, it wasn't just that one game. I think it was a lot of games, you know, well, the previous five mostly were you saw flashes of what the Bucks have been. But you didn't see it all the time. And so, you know, that was kind of the focus. And I don't think that's untruthful. But I don't blame him for not caring, because I too think that they will be fine once they get to the playoffs.
Yeah, I do too. And there's a lot of talk about flipping a switch or whatever. And I don't think they're like in such dire of a position where they need to refigure out how to play basketball again. Giannis isn't playing 40 minutes. Neither is Chris. They're getting themselves late game experience, which they haven't had a lot of this season. More guys are getting some run to try to figure out, oh, maybe after last night, maybe we can trust Sterling Brown a little bit, or at least, you know, he can have an opportunity to do something in the playoffs. I just, you know, these eight games, whether it's the Clippers or the Lakers or the Bucks, you don't, like, we haven't had sports for 4 months, so we want to see every game be like it's game seven. But you also, if you're going to be playing into October, which if the Bucks go to the finals, when I would drink heavily, my friends would always tell me to pace, not race, to not, you know, go super hard right away. And I think that's kind of what the Bucks are doing right now. It's going to be a long time in this bubble if they go as far as we want them to. You can't, like, be on your best the first eight games.
No, I think that's totally reasonable. I think that they need to, you know, have a long view of this. And I think they do. Like, they didn't go to, you know, the Walt Disney World Resort complex thinking, oh, yeah, we'll be here for a little bit. Like, no, like, we'll be here for 3 months. Like, we're going to be here for a long time. Like, that was their mindset, you know, going in. And you mentioned the Lakers and Clippers. They haven't played well either, but they also haven't necessarily played all their guys. And, you know, they're kind of approaching it the same way as the Bucks. And if you asked most people today, they would still pick, you know, the Bucks, Lakers, and Clippers more often than not, you know, one of those teams from the West and the Bucks to be in the finals. I think that maybe it has gotten onto shaky ground for some people, but more often than not, that's who the pick's going to be. And I think that the Bucks, you know, when they start playing their guys their regular minutes and start playing to the level they're capable of, I mean, you look at that second half against Miami, and I think that was just kind of indicative of how if the Bucks decide that they want to do what they want to do, they can be pretty darn good. It's just a function of doing that.
What would be, as we talked to Matt Velasquez here with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, what would be, if there was something from the first seven games that we've seen, what would be a concern about, oh, that's a bad habit? Is it the turnovers? Is it the three-point defense? Is there something that you're seeing that maybe the Bucks are, you know, right now, this could actually be a bad habit and a bad foreshadowing of the playoffs?
I would say maybe the turnovers. I mean, there have been numerous turnovers in late game situations. The Houston game definitely stands out, where the guys who would normally be on the floor for the most part were on the floor. And, you know, some of that may be down to regaining some timing. Some of it might be, you know, needing to have better mental focus and, you know, but I feel like those guys were probably pretty focused at that time. Just need to be a little bit sharper and execute a little bit better. And I think that's something that will come, especially that Houston game. If it wasn't game two, if it was game seven, maybe they finish those plays. But I think the turnovers probably be the thing, because, you know, they can't let teams get out in transition and run and get easy buckets against them. Their defense is so good when they're able to get it set.
that you don't want to give away easy opportunities, and I think that's something that they'll try and focus on heading toward the playoffs.
You know, one thing that I would like to see is when you look at the Bucks and the rotations, again, you're going to have Giannis and Middleton, these guys playing 40 minutes. They're going to be playing more than they have been at any point this season. But as we saw with the Raptors last year, it's, you know, guys on the bench do need to step up, and there's going to be somebody of this bench that needs to be an impact role player. And maybe last year we thought it would be Mirotić. That didn't happen. The Raptors had Fred VanVleet. The Bucks bench has been struggling a little bit, especially, you know, with 3-point shots and percentage. Who do you look at as a guy that, you know, Sterling Brown, again, that was the best he's ever played last night. Connaughton could be that guy. DiVincenzo's been struggling. Who do they need off that bench to be one of those role players with real impact minutes?
Yeah, I think definitely, I mean, George Hill's been that guy all year. And you know, maybe he's kind of taking his time rounding into shape right now. You know, maybe he's just in a little bit of a shooting funk. But I think he can be that guy. I mean, especially if there's a series where, you know, they need his shooting ability a little bit more. If he can be aggressive, and I think he did that a little bit last night with Eric Bledsoe out, where he was starting and, you know, he had a few, you know, no hesitation, strong drives to the hoop, which are definitely a benefit, and his ability to shoot the three is good. Pat Connaughton is shooting really well after not shooting all that well during the actual regular season. Since the restart, it's a small sample, but he's been shooting the ball really well from outside, and he looks like he's in a really good rhythm there. I think the time off maybe was good for him to get a little bit extra practice in or some more reps or whatever it was, some rest. And you mentioned Dante, like, you know, he's been really good for a second-year guard who missed almost all of his rookie year last year. He's been really good this season, and most recent, I think, turnovers have been an issue for him. He's been playing a little bit more point guard with Bledsoe out early and out recently. But, you know, his decision-making with the ball is going to be critical for the Bucks. If they're going to trust him out there and have the ball in his hands and ask him to score or to create, he's going to need to make sure he's making the best decisions or close to the best decisions when he's out there. And if he can do that, I think his defense will help them tremendously. And if his offense isn't hurting, then that can only be good.
Obviously, the story on Tuesday night is Giannis in the headbutt of Mo Wagner. I know that, you know, Giannis is getting a little annoyed with some of the contact that he's getting when he does drive, and maybe teams are positioning themselves in a way to get that call, the block charge call, or maybe there's a flop or two that he's not happy with. Is Giannis's temper a concern? Not just like, oh, he might react, but, you know, if I'm another team, I'm thinking, hey, let's get even more physical on Giannis. Let's do this more until we can't get away with it anymore. If I'm even the Magic or whoever, that's what I'm looking at to try to attack the Bucks.
Yeah, and well, I think that's probably how teams are going to attack the Bucks anyway. That's how they've been doing it for a long time. I remember, you know, a game, I think 2 years ago in Detroit, where after the game I was talking to him, he was just like, man, like, it's all the time. Like, you know, and he was frustrated with it then. He's been frustrated with it for a long time, just the way that he is officiating it. You know, going back to the Jason Kidd days, you know, both Kidd and Budenholzer have said, like, it's hard to officiate this guy, but come on. And that was kind of the refrain last night. I think teams will try to get in his head. They'll try to, you know, get him frustrated. But if I were a Bucks fan, I wouldn't be frustrated or worried or nervous about that, because Giannis, for the most part, has handled himself well in those situations. It's not often that he's lashing out or doing something untoward like what happened last night. I think most of the time he kind of just, you know, runs back on defense, does his own thing, but then channels that fury and unleashes it on the other team in a basketball way. And so that's what you're kind of hoping for if you're the Bucks, that he can continue to maintain his composure, especially when the games really matter, and just channel any frustration he has into just maybe dunking a little bit harder on his opponent.
Are we to expect a suspension if this goes into the – I think everyone's fine. Like, all right, suspend him for the Grizzlies, fine, except for Horvat and I, who are now world's biggest Suns fans because we want to see Phoenix go undefeated and get in. But, I mean, they can't put a suspension into the playoffs, could they?
I wouldn't expect it. I mean, you remember I'm sure you remember very well. You might have even been there for the game. When Giannis, you know, body checked Mike Dunleavy into the stands back in 2015, that was a one game suspension for the next year. I mean, obviously that was the end of that playoff series, but I feel like these are similar levels of, of malfeasance when it comes to issuing a suspension. I don't think the NBA would want to suspend, its presumptive MVP for a playoff game. And obviously he, as a player of that status, needs to make better choices, make better decisions, even in the heat of the moment, because he is, such a recognizable NBA brand. But also on the flip side of that coin, because he's such a recognizable, face in the NBA brand, they don't want him out for a playoff game. So I think there will probably be a fairly significant fine, and he'll, I would guess, miss the Grizzlies game, and then we'll go from there.
Full strength, are we thinking Bucks and four in this Magic series? I mean, I'm already worried about the 10-2 run the Magic start game one with, and then, social media collapses upon itself. But the Magic, they've got some length, but the Bucks, they can beat them there. I don't want to take too much away from the Magic. They lose Jonathan Isaac, though. I think this should be relatively easy for Milwaukee.
That's kind of my thought process. I mean, this reminds me of the Pistons series last year, where there were a few moments where Detroit made it a little bit tough and made it interesting. But at the end of the day, the Bucks have at least the best two players on the floor, if not more than that. And they just have a depth of talent that won't be matched. And if they want to, bring it and play the way that we know they can play, I would predict or expect this should be a sweep. But this is bubble basketball. You never know what's going to happen.
Matt Velasquez, we appreciate you. Again, subscribe. Get the hard copy of the Journal Sentinel. Matt, we'll talk to you next week.
What? Gotta be like John. Thank you, John, for calling in and for reading the paper. And, I hope everybody else can learn from your example.
Thanks, Matt.
All right, you bet.
Matt Velasquez joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Has your passion outgrown your home? A Great Midwest Bank home renovation loan may give you the space it deserves. Visit greatmidwestbank.com today. Simply local lending since 1935. We'll talk some college football here, or the lack of it, at least in the Midwest and on the West Coast. The other conferences still hanging on for now. But one guy we have not given a lot of credit to yet is the Pineapple. Manny Pena. We'll talk about him next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.